Hi, everybody. It's good to be here with all of you. I think that last year, Easter was the first Easter that I've never been, that I haven't been at Agape my entire life. I've been at Agape for every single Easter for my entire life. So it's really, really good to be back here for this Easter. And I feel really blessed to be here for this Easter. I don't know, do you think she wants me to wait for her little fluffy thing? I can talk? Okay. Well, I really did, I will say, even though Jenny messaged me about preaching today, like 2 months ago, I did prepare like a whole thing. I typically forget about things if it's too far in advance, because I'm more of like a, I like that you guys start at 10:07, because I'm chronically late. Lots of things go on in my head. Yeah, you know. Oh, I get a special pink one. Ta-da! Yes.
Is this yours or mine?
It's yours. I want that one.
Okay. Do I sound cooler with this on now? But yeah, I prepared a whole thing. I did. But I just feel like the emotions in here today are kind of making me feel like my things should not be as prepared and it should just come from right here. So I think that's what we're gonna do. So as you all know, maybe you don't all know, I like to think I'm a celebrity, but apparently I'm not in all places of the world. But as you all know, I had cancer. Had cancer. I'm 20 years old right now, but I was diagnosed with acute myeloid leukemia on October 7th, 2021. So I was 19 years old in my sophomore year of college. I was living in my sorority house. It's just your regular little college girl. And yeah, I began having some weird symptoms that fall after moving back to Ames. I go to Iowa State University. And I began having a lot of really just weird health symptoms. And I typically am someone who has pretty good health. I don't normally have many issues. I always said growing up that Speed was the one with all the issues with his health. He always got chicken pox and all that stuff, and I never did. But yeah, I started having some weird things going on with my body, and we went to the doctor, just the student health clinic there on campus, and my mom felt the need to drive all the way from Clear Lake to Ames to take me to that appointment, because she just had a feeling something was off, and they did some tests, they ran some blood work at that little student health clinic, and they said we were fine to go. And as my mom and I were walking out of that student health clinic, the nurse ran out and totally Grey's Anatomy style, he said, "Did you just get blood work?" And we were like, "Yes." And he's like, "You need to come back in right now. We need to rerun tests." It was like I was on like a medical drama TV show. Like, I kid you not. And he was drawing the blood again. He said, "This could be explaining everything. This could be why you've been so tired, why you've been having headaches, why you've been having this weird rushing noise in your ears." And I said, "Well, what's wrong with me?" And he just said that my counts came back, my blood counts came back, and they were very abnormal. And so we went back into the doctor's little office room, and they handed us a piece of paper, and it had all of these blood numbers with bright red letters and exclamation points and big L's, double L's, saying low, low, low blood count numbers. And they said we needed to go to Mary Greeley Hospital, the hospital names, right away and go to the emergency room. They had already called ahead and to give them those papers. And so we rolled out, and we're just driving away, and my mom and I were like, "Well, this is kind of weird." I'm like, I don't know why they're treating this so seriously. Like, I feel fine. And I was like, "Do you think we have time to stop at like McDonald's or something? I'm kind of hungry." But my mom's like, "No, they said to go straight to the emergency room, so we probably should." And so we did. And the people were looking at me like they were confused on how I was just rolling around, because apparently all of my blood count numbers were in fatally low levels. And I had just been walking around campus. And so I went into the hospital Mary Greeley Hospital that day into the emergency room, and I ended up staying overnight that night, and I did not leave the hospital for 6 weeks when I entered it on October 7th. I did not leave until November 15th, I think it was. So on October 8th, my doctor came in after they had been running tests and they had given me some blood transfusions because they had asked me to stay overnight. And my doctor came in and he told me that I had acute myeloid leukemia. And I remember in that moment, well, I first asked him if he was sure. And he kind of looked at me like I was crazy, because who would tell someone they had cancer and then be like, just kidding. But he was sure. And I remember my parents were there, they're looking at him, and he was telling them specifics. And I really didn't hear much of what he said. And when he decided that it was time to leave and give us some time, I asked my parents to also leave. And I sat in that hospital bed, and I just closed my eyes and I talked to God for a really, really long time. Because it doesn't really make sense why a 19-year-old girl like me, and most of you have seen me grow up. You saw when my mom was pregnant with me in her belly. And you've seen me throughout every stage of my life, and it didn't make sense why I had cancer now. I was healthy, and there was things that I was supposed to be doing, and my life was not supposed to end, because cancer meant that my life was over. And so I sat there and I talked to God for a while. And we decided that my life was not over. And I was filled with really, really supernatural, overwhelming peace from God. And that peace strengthened me and got me through a lot of really hard times when I started chemo. And this part is what I really want to talk about today. Before I started chemo, my doctor, Dr. Rujapatna, he told me that in order for us to get rid of the cancer, so leukemia is cancer of the blood, it originates in your bone marrow. And so your bone marrow is where like your stem cells are created, and then your stem cells go on and create everything else in your body. But leukemia is cancer of the blood. And he said that in order for us to get rid of the cancer, we have to get rid of everything else. Just like how when we burn a field, in order for it to grow back new and green and for the flowers to grow back, we're going to have to do that in your bone marrow with this chemotherapy. And so even though we'd love for you to keep all of your wonderful hair and your health, in order for us to get rid of the cancer, we have to get rid of everything. And so my body was pushed during those first 6 weeks of chemotherapy. And if any of you followed along in my carrying bridge, you probably remember I looked a little rough, you know. But yeah. I think that we obviously all know what Easter's about. And we've really felt that here this morning. But I think that it's very rare for us to see such a physical representation of what Easter means. Because Easter, we know what Good Friday is. Jesus died on the cross for our sins right now, today, so that we could be free. But what happened on Easter? He was risen. And so what does that mean for you and me? New life. That we were made new as well. And that we are continually made new every single day. That our minds are renewed every single day. And that's your truth right now. In Romans 6:4-11, Paul is talking about what this new life in Christ looks like. I'm going to read from the Christian Standard Bible. It says, For if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with him, so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin, since a person who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Our old self was crucified on that cross on Good Friday. And so, just like how my doctor talked about burning the field, burning all of it, that was my old self. But what happened on Easter? What happened on Easter Sunday? And amazingly, my story just continues to be really, really relatable to this situation. So, because of some mutations with my leukemia, I was at, and am technically still at, a very high risk for relapse. After they sent in my initial samples, they sent them to Mayo. They said that they would be continually running tests to see what kind of my prognosis was, I guess. I think that we hear a lot about people getting diagnosed with stage 3, stage 4, but in leukemia, it's more that you have a low risk prognosis or a medium risk prognosis or a high risk prognosis. And that all depends on the mutations. And so we really hoped that he would come back and he would say that mine was just super, it was not very high risk and that it was gonna be all great and fine, but it wasn't. And basically every single mutation that someone could have with leukemia I had. Every single one that's super difficult to treat, I had. But I went through my first round of chemo and we got rid of the cancer. Amen. But they said that in order to really make sure that I wouldn't relapse again, I needed to have what they call a bone marrow transplant. And so a bone marrow transplant is basically where they take cells from usually a donor and they put them into your body, and those cells now become what creates your blood. Those cells become your immune system. So our blood cells are made up of our white blood cells, our red blood cells, and our platelets. And after you get a bone marrow transplant, what's creating all of those blood cells is no longer Sky. It would be the donor. So I went to Mayo, because this is where this all happened. And my doctor there, one of the best in the world, probably the best in the world, at bone marrow transplants and acute myeloid leukemia, he said, he first was very surprised that I had made it through that first round of chemo, because it was pretty intense. And then he said, this next round of chemo that we're gonna do, they call it conditioning, that we're gonna do before your bone marrow transplant, because they have to completely wipe away all of my blood cells, all of my bone marrow. He said that would be at least 100 times stronger. And so, we did it. I went to Mayo, I was at Mayo for many appointments. I ended up going through another round of chemo just to make sure the cancer didn't come back. And we put my data into the donor registry to see if there was a match, because it's a really big process when they're going to take someone else's cells and put them into you. They want it to be good ones. And my parents got tested and my brother got tested, and my brother ended up being a half match for me. And so he donated his cells for me. And I went through a very intense round of chemo and radiation. And my body once again was pushed to its very limit. And my immune system was made up of pills and chemicals that they had created that were supposed to help me. And I was hooked up to machines. And my old self was completely gone. And in order for this procedure, for this bone marrow transplant to work, my old self had to be completely gone. And they rolled in one day with the bags of speed stem cells and bone marrow, and they just put it into my body. And I think that when we look at this, whether you understand lots of medical things or not, I think that this is such an easy way to see what Jesus does in our lives. Because while on Good Friday, Jesus died for our sins, and all of your sins went away in the eyes of God, on Sunday, he rose again, and he said that we do not have to be slaves to those sins anymore, and that you are free today, right now. And I think that sometimes we get so caught up in thinking that we're just lowly sinners, and that that's all God will ever see us as, is sinners, and that's all everyone else will ever see us as, and that's all we'll ever see when we look in the mirror. God sees you in the reality. God doesn't have special blinding glasses on where he does not see your sin. He sees you all exactly as you are, and he still said that he wanted you to be free. You know, when I was going through treatment, I struggled a lot because while I knew that God's plan was to save me, because God and I had talked, and we decided that that was what was going to happen, I didn't understand how I could be worthy of this. And I didn't understand why God would see me as worthy of this. And I didn't understand that even though this salvation was there waiting for me, that it was up to me still to receive that salvation. And so what I kind of want to challenge you all today is, while you may be aware of your salvation in Christ Jesus, because today's Easter and he rose again, are you receiving it? Are you living your life in a way that shows that what Jesus did on the cross, however many years ago, really meant something? Are you living in that freedom? Because it didn't end when Jesus died on the cross. It didn't end. He rose back up from the dead. So not only did your sins die, but you also had the chance at freedom in Christ. Is that how you live your life right now? I know that's not how I live my life sometimes. Let's see if I have another verse. I feel like we need another verse to back that one up, you know? Yeah, Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I think you all look at me, you can all see that I have been given a new life. The fact that I'm able to stand up here in front of you, and that there's color in my cheeks again, and that I have curls on my head, show that I have been given new life. But It wasn't without my old self passing away. It wasn't about stepping away from those old things that I have been able to live in this freedom. And some days I still want to hold on. But I know that I have been given freedom in Christ because it didn't end on Good Friday. You were made new. Today you were made new. And tomorrow you'll be made new again. And every single day you are made new in Christ. Amen.
Okay. Ooh, and you know what? This whole time I was thinking is that, so Sky, when they do the bone marrow transplant, they basically like almost kill you, right?
Yeah.
I mean, basically. So Sky had to die, right? In essence. Okay, she didn't die. But, and then they took Speed's stem cells, right? And they put them in her to make her new again, just like Jesus. And guess what? If Sky goes to the doctor and gets her blood taken, whose blood is it? Speed's. She has Speed's DNA, just like when we asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our lives. We have Jesus' DNA running through our veins. Mic drop. All right. So, Father God, we just thank you so much for today. We thank you, Lord, so much for the miracles in our lives. We just thank you, Lord, that you died on the cross and you rose again to save us from our sins, that we can die to ourselves, and that you, your blood can run through our veins, that when we ask you to be our Lord and Savior, all we have to do is ask. It's just a simple act of faith saying, you know what, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I believe that you died on the cross. I believe that you rose again. I would like to die to myself and have you come into my life.